Come to order. I'll invite you to stand and join in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance.
To the flag of the United States of America. Republic for which it stands.
Please call the roll.
Mr. Schmidt?
Here.
Mr. Thornhill?
Here.
Mr. Pespel?
Here.
Mr. Dudley?
Here.
Ms. Anthony?
Here.
Ms. Hoppy?
Here.
Mr. McDavid?
Here. We have minutes from the council meeting of June 6, 2011. If there are no corrections, may I have a motion and second for approval?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Are there any corrections or extractions to the agenda? If not, may I have a motion and a second to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Welcome to the meeting. We have several opportunities for public comment tonight. We have public hearings, old business, new business, and we have an open comment section at the end of the meeting. Everybody is entitled to 3 minutes. At the end of 3 minutes, the red light will blink. If you represent an organization or group, you may ask for 5 minutes. We'll start with appointments to boards and commissions. The Columbia Library District Boards is a mayor's appointment. There are three highly qualified applicants for the three vacancies, and I'm going to appoint Lisa Groshong, Mary Ellen Siebert, and David Weber. The next is the Comprehensive Task Force.
I'd like to make a motion to re-advertise that position.
May I have a second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. Cultural Affairs Standing Committee on Public Art, we have one applicant for the business community position. May I have a motion and a second to appoint Nancy Burdick?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. We have two qualified candidates for the applicants for the Stormwater Advisory Board. May I have a motion and a second to appoint Aaron Daugherty and Ben Laundere?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed, say nay. We have two applicants for the one vacancy on the Health Insurance Appeals Board. Will the clerk call the roll?
Mr. Schmidt?
McDonald.
Mr. Thornhill?
McDonald.
Mr. Pespel?
McDonald.
Mr. Dudley?
McDonald.
Ms. Anthony?
McDonald.
Ms. Hoppy?
McDonald.
Mr. McDavid?
Patricia McDonald. We have three applicants for two vacancies on the Water and Light Advisory Board, and I must say for the three applicants, they are all three highly qualified. This is an extraordinarily complex, sophisticated board. It's the board that oversees our water and light utility, and so it's I am pleased that we have three highly capable candidates. Will the clerk call the roll on the first position?
Schmidt?
Parker.
Mr. Thornhill?
Parker.
Mr. Pespel?
Parker.
Mr. Dudley?
Parker.
Ms. Anthony?
Parker.
Ms. Hoppy?
Parker.
Mr. McDavid?
Parker. Will the clerk call the roll in the second vacancy?
Attinger.
Mr. Thornhill?
Mallon.
Pespel?
Mallon.
Mr. Dudley?
Attinger.
Ms. Anthony?
Attinger.
Ms. Hoppy?
Attinger.
Mr. McDavid?
Mallon. I think Mr. Attinger has it 4-3.
Yes.
Those who have contacted the city manager's office by noon on Wednesday prior to the council meeting can speak at the beginning of the meeting on any topic not on the agenda. Only two people can speak on the same topic. Tonight we have one request. I'll ask Patrick McDonald to come forward. I'll yield for 5 minutes.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to make comment on an article on the front page of our Tribune from June 10th. First off, the survey of the city, residents of the city of Columbia, 834 residents were surveyed. That's less than 1% of our population. I believe we have right around 108,000 people in the city at now. You know, so that's not a very good survey as far as I'm concerned. Also, Mayor McDavid and I believe Ms. Anthony stated that we haven't really got a lot of violent crime in our city. I don't know how long you people have been here. I've been here for a number of years. And 2009, the young man that beat up the man in the parking garage playing Knockout Kings was not the highlight of that year. I believe a man named Grady Dorch killed a man at Douglas Park. There was a home invasion of a disabled veteran by five young men that stole his electronics and whipped him with a shotgun rifle butt. There was numerous other things. And also, right off the top of my mind, within the last 8 months to a year, we've had 6 to 8 murders. The most publicized one was the young man to come from Kansas City to watch his cousin play homecoming that was killed on nightfall and got the break time and robbed. There's also, you know, with growth, I come from the Los Angeles area of California. I've lived in Philadelphia. I've lived in major cities. We have an epidemic of crack cocaine across this country, and it's becoming prevalent here in Columbia. And if we don't give Chief Burton, who is doing a heck of a job since he's come on board here, the extra manpower to nip this in the bud now, these people that send these children here to go to college here, it brings in a lot of revenue to our county and our city, are going to stop doing so, because that's an epidemic that's outrageous. Also, I'd like to speak about the Public Works Director, Mr. Glasgow. I worked for the city of Paris in California for a number of years in the street maintenance department. And right, we did have a very harsh winter this past year, but these potholes that have been in our streets, and some could be termed sinkholes, big enough to swallow a small car, come from years of neglect. It was compounded by this past harsh winter, sure, but years of neglect have caused these holes to be here. And with that, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to speak for a few minutes.
Thank you, Mr. McDonald. Council does not address issues brought up under scheduled public comments at the time the comments are made. However, we may discuss these issues at the end of the meeting. We'll move to public hearings. Will the clerk read item A?
Agenda item A is a voluntary annexation of property located west of Wellington Subdivision and north of Mexico Gravel Road, 4415 Mexico Gravel Road.
Staff, please.
This is a voluntary annexation of about 0.35 acres. With that, I'll ask him to handle any tough questions.
This is very similar to an annexation that was done last month that involved this strip of property right here. And like that annexation, this is a small part of a larger lot that when annexed in 1969 was not fully included in the city limit, and it's that owner's desire now to annex the remainder of the lot that they own. I'll try to answer any questions you might have.
Questions by council? I'm going to open the public hearing. Would anyone from the public, from the audience, like to speak? Seeing none. Any discussion? Will the clerk call the roll, please?
We just move on to the next item.
This is going to be, okay, I have a misprint on here. This is going to be discussed with rezoning at the next meeting, July 5th meeting. Is that right?
Correct.
Okay. So it will not be voted on tonight. We'll move to old business, Bill 89-11A.
Council Bill 89-11A is an ordinance amending Chapter 14 of the City Code relating to parking rates and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective.
Staff report, please.
So you've seen this many times, and I think tonight would be the final action by council to implement these changes. There are roughly, I think, nine changes envisioned to help fund the Short Street Garage. These are parking changes that are more than that project, but this is using the system to fund an expansion of the system, so it's entirely appropriate. We've talked about these issues quite often over the last 3 or 4 months. The Community Improvement District, the downtown, the district, I should call it, the district, has weighed in on the issue and I think done some great work, some great thinking, and staff concurs with almost all of that, and that goes a little farther in one respect, and I think the council took action at the last meeting on those items. So, without walking through them all again, folks from the staff side to answer detailed questions.
These changes are on the amendment sheet, so I'll need a motion and a second to amend B89-11A per the amendment sheet.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay.
There was one other item in the amendment sheet, and I neglected to change the effective date. I think the staff wanted it to be July the 1st, if that's meets with the council's approval. So that would take a separate motion.
May I have a motion to amend to start these on July 1st? Is that an acceptable amendment?
And if I haven't missed the vote there, I had a comment from the special business district people to have the ask that the garages and the meters start at the same time. Is that too late to bring this up? Do you want to save that for the task force or?
Let's save that for the task force.
Okay.
There's going to be a whole, there'll be a lot of changes with respect to that.
Okay.
But so we have a motion to start this on July 1st. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. I'll invite anyone from the public who wishes to speak. Council discussion?
I have a question. I just, when is the task force going to be put together?
I'm going to, during the council comments tonight, ask for a resolution allowing us to create the task force at the next meeting.
Okay.
I wanted to get this out of the way first, so we'll be naming the task force at the next meeting. But we'll ask for the resolution tonight to be presented at the next meeting to empower that.
And just so I'm clear on the purpose of the task force, it would be to evaluate the decision we make this evening in an ongoing way and possibly propose changes at a later date?
Yeah, let me bring this up here. I wasn't prepared to bring this up here, but there are three things that I'm going to ask in the task force. You know, I think there's been a lack of consensus and some frank differences of opinion in some of the downtown business owners concerning parking, in spite of the fact that we've come up with a consensus tonight. And I'm struck that Columbia is using outdated and I think in some cases confusing technology to collect revenue and provide enforcement. And it's also pretty clear that our parking assets are inconsistently used. We have garages that are oversubscribed and a new garage that's obviously undersubscribed. So I'm going to be asking the staff to produce a resolution to allow me to appoint a downtown parking task force to globally review downtown parking. Specifically, the task force will, number one, review rates throughout the downtown on street surface lots and garages. Number two, review technology to collect fees and recommend updates to that technology. And number three, propose marketing our garages via shuttles, trolleys, transit, bicycles, including differential rate structures. I'll talk later about who I think should be on the task force, but that it's going to be an advisory task force. you know, I'm going to ask them to report in a year to the council with their recommendations. And again, it will be a global view that will address rates but go far beyond that.
I appreciate that. I think it's just, you know, I am comfortable with, you know, the supporting this evening, but I did want to know what your
and on that basis, I personally view this as an interim step.
Okay.
Simply to get the parking garage funded on Short Street. And then that gives us an opportunity to really dig into the global view of downtown parking to get a better consensus among all the stakeholders.
So we view this as probably not being the final.
Well, it's, I think it's going to be in place for, I mean, I don't see the task force having recommendations for a year.
My only concern, and it remains a concern, is this enough funds to, that we're comfortable that it will pick up the deficit, principal interest, maintenance, repair, and staffing on Short Street and what we're short on Fifth Street. And that's a concern of mine, has been all along, and I'm not sure $600,000 or $630,000 will do all that.
I would presume that in the event we made some of our assumptions about use are incorrect and that our revenue is coming short to the point of threatening the solvency of the parking utility, that we would be in a position to modify this.
Yeah, we could make changes. We also, there is a fund balance in the parking utility that would cover, if our estimates are incorrect and it comes below what we believe we need, we do have some fund balance that is unreserved that we could use to bridge that difference for a while until we could readdress the issue and make changes to bring the revenue in line with what we needed.
What is that unreserved balance? It's about right. $2 million, isn't it?
Yes, sir. That is correct.
Let me say, too, our estimates are our best guess at, as of today. World changes, things change, and estimates are usually not 100% accurate. That said, we know that, and so we estimate very conservatively. So there is a bit of room in those estimates, and the hope is that we're pretty close by the end of the day.
My other concern is a parking study done in 2001 by Trans Systems Corporation showed the 5th and Walnut Street garage being 360 spaces. They proposed a garage at the Armory, one at 8th and Ash and one at 6th and Ash. There was nothing talked about at Short Street. I understand why we're doing Short Street. Also, the Short Street parking study shows a deficiency in parking spaces in those blocks around Short Street. So I think that's probably warrants doing this garage. But I want to bring to everyone's attention that these garages that were proposed in 2001 were much smaller than what we have at 5th Walnut.
I would just like to say that while we focus on the Short Street garage, this is an overall solution to an overall problem that's important to the growth and the vibrancy of downtown, so that while it's important that we get the finance right, that this is an overall solution, and the rates unfortunately weren't raised in many years, so that we had to face this all at once. But I'm confident the city staff has the numbers right here.
Any other discussion? Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Council Bill 8911A as amended, Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Kespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes. 151-11.
Council Bill 15111 is an ordinance authorizing an antenna site license agreement with the curators of the University of Missouri to allow access to the KOMU TV tower to improve radio coverage for public safety joint communications and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Staff, please.
This is a great partnership, really, with between public safety joint communications, what I think of as 911, and the University of Missouri, they allowing us to rent space on the KOMU tower really minimizes our expense, provides much greater radio reception in that area of the community, and So it's a win-win scenario in the classic sense of it. Really, really impressed with the staff work and the partnership from the university. Any other questions? The experts are here.
Questions by council? Seeing none, would anyone from the public like to speak? Any more discussion by council? Please call the roll.
Council Bill 15111, Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Kespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes. 154-11.
Council Bill 15411 is an ordinance approving application and guidelines for the Neighborhood Response Demolition Program, authorizing agreements to buy, maintain, and sell real estate through the Neighborhood Response Demolition Program, authorizing the purchase of property at 200 Oak Street and adjacent property, and fixing the time when this ordinance shall become effective. Second reading.
Staff, please.
This action really would do two things. It sort of establishes some guidelines on how we would do this, and then there's a specific project involved as well. But I believe their request has come to table that, and so at this point, I won't go into too many details, but Tim is here to handle those.
Well, we have had a request from some of the parties involved to table this, and I think it would be good to look at the examples or the specific example and the guidelines at the same time, and it's also all written as one bill. So I would move that we table this for 1 month. Do you think is that the
July 18th?
July 18th. Okay.
I have a second.
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 Discussion.
I'd like to ask one question on the information we got on our CDs. It looks like the back of the house maybe 200 Walnut Street, but it shows the front of the house at 106 Walnut. And I tried to find 200 Walnut the other day, and I couldn't find it.
But 200 Oak, it's the other way from Ash.
I'm sorry.
What? It's the other way from Ash. The other properties abut Ash. So this is going the other way from Ash instead of towards Walnut. But
it runs east-west.
The properties are between Walnut and, or Ash and Oak.
That's correct.
Yeah. Just west of Garth.
Right.
Okay.
I drove Oak Street yesterday and couldn't find the house.
Yeah, there's a bend where Oak Street transitions from north, south, east.
I drove around that corner.
There.
But the front of the house that we have on our CD shows 106, so I was a little confused.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, and that's correct. Good catch.
I have a motion and a second to table to July 18th. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, say nay. We'll move to the consent agenda. Will the clerk read the bills?
Items on the consent agenda include bills 143-11, 144-11, 145-11, 146-11, 147-11, 148-11, 149-11, 150-11, 152-11, 153-11, and resolution 79-11. 80-11, 81-11, 82-11, 83-11, 84-11, 85-11, 86-11, 87-11, 88-11, 89-11, 90-11, 91-11, 92-11, 93-11, 94-11, and 95-11.
Please call the roll.
Bills 143-11, 144-11, 145-11, 146-11, 147-11, 148-11, 149-11, 150-11, 152-11, 153-11, and resolutions 79-11, 80-11, 81-11, 82-11, 83-11, 84-11, 85-11, 86-11, 87-11, 88-11, 89-11, 90-11, 91-11, 92-11, 93-11, and 94-11, and 95-11. Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Kespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes. Resolution 96-11.
Council Bill 9611 is a resolution declaring official intent to reimburse certain short street parking garage project costs with proceeds of bonds.
Staff, please.
It's fairly straightforward. For the work that we do now from the parking utility on the Short Street project, it just establishes the intent of council to use bonds to build Short Street, and then we can reimburse work that we do now from that project once we get the bonds sold. gives us the official intent that we're going to use bonds to pay for the project, but we can start work now.
Council, questions?
So will the purchase price of the lot reduce the reserve in the parking utility initially and then be reimbursed from the bonds?
That's correct. It will come out of the parking utility initially and be reimbursed with bond proceeds.
So our reserve will be reduced to $800,000?
Until we sell the bonds.
Until you sell the bonds?
Then when you sell the bonds, it'll go right back up to $2
million. Right.
Any other questions? Would anyone from the public like to speak?
Hello. I'm Cindy Schaltmeyer. I live at 1908 Tremont Court, and I would just like to visit a little bit about this this idea of doubling the parking rates. Apparently, it's pretty much a foregone conclusion from what I've heard everyone say. And so I guess my concern about it is that it seems to be essentially a private parking lot in that only 75 places will be left available for the public to park, and yet the public's being asked to pay for it. So I would like to recommend or request that the council consider throwing the public basically a conciliatory bone in the form of a downtown trolley bus that would circle the downtown area and be provided either free of charge or nominal fee that would go to all the different parking garages, and that way people can park. It would serve two purposes. It would encourage people to park at the garages because then they could get on the trolley for little or no charge and get downtown or wherever they want to go. And then also I think it would be a conciliatory gesture toward the people who are being asked to double their parking meter rates, even though they very few will be able to actually park in the garage that's being built. So I just think we could start with one trolley bus, see how it goes, and if the demand is great enough, maybe at a later point in time, consider adding a second trolley bus. But that is my proposal, and does anybody have any questions?
Something similar has actually been brought up by us as well, to encourage people to park at the
garage. I'm not wanting that to be dropped, basically. I'm wanting that to really be a part of what you all consider tonight, because I think it's a very important piece of the puzzle for the people who are being asked to pay for it.
The only downside I can see to that, it was brought up last council meeting, if we purchase one trolley bus to do that loop, we have to purchase two, because if one breaks down, we have to have a spare.
Okay.
So we're going to have to buy two of those trolley buses.
Well, I think it'd be well worth it. And I think, again, it would be a better pill for the public to swallow if they felt that, you know, at least they were going to have this option of parking at the tower, for example, and being, you know, taking the quick trolley in.
Would this subject matter be appropriate for the
yes.
advisory committee?
That will be one of the tasks placed on the task force.
Anyone?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Would anyone else like to speak? Council discussion. Please call the roll.
Council Bill 9611, Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Kespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes. 97-11.
Council Bill 9711 is a resolution transferring funds to cover overages and personnel expenditures in the Public Works Department.
Staff, please.
This is at its core a true-up. We estimate each year time that engineers will spend on projects and vacation and military leave and sick time, et cetera. Our best guess 2 years ago when we made the budget, or a year ago when we made the budget, was not exactly right, and so this moves money from various places to cover that expense. So we're not using the projects that we're using other funds.
I have a question on the parking garage, 6th and Walnut, and the $29,000. I guess my concern is we asked staff to look at improving the lighting and the glare and working on the energy efficiency issues. So will we have money to make those changes if we take all the 29,000 that's left, give it to this.
The glare on which project?
The 6th and Walnut, the glare of the lighting issue.
Yes, my understanding, there's a federal grant we have to help with the sustainability, and there's still funds in that project, I think far in excess of the 29,000. I think it approaches a million. But the project isn't finished. There are still expenses coming.
Other funds for that.
Yes, there's about $1 million left in the project.
Okay.
On the 6th and Walnut. Yes. So the answer is yes, we've got it covered.
Good.
So this difference in what you estimated is basically standard range of error for?
No, it's not for us. We started this 3 years ago charging engineers to projects. We used to just take it out of the general fund. And so we started charging each project for their time. And we've been changing the number each year. So we've been doing this for 3 years. The problem here is this year we had about 240 hours of military people that was gone from that. We didn't anticipate that large a number. And there's some other things that happened with sick leave and vacation. We are correcting it, though, for next year. Mr. Blattle and I are working on where this will not happen again.
Any other questions? Would anyone from the public like to speak? Council discussion? Please call the roll.
Council Bill 9711, Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Hespel?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hoppe?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes. 98-11.
Council Bill 9811 is a resolution amending Resolution 6611A to add an additional at-large member to the Ward Reapportionment Committee.
Staff?
I can't say it any better than Sheila just did. It's adds one position to the Reapportionment Committee. And provides that the mayor shall appoint the additional member from any ward in the city.
I'm going to amend this to make this a council decision rather than a mayor appointment.
Second.
Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay.
You'd have to amend the resolution to do that with a motion and a second.
All right, we just did.
Oh, was that that you didn't vote on the resolution?
Yes.
Never mind.
I'll speak for the rest of the council. I think all of us understand that this process, we understand how important reapportionment is, how important it is that all members of the community have an equal say in their government. And I think we understand that the process we used failed to look at the minority involvement in the committee as a whole, and this is an attempt to rectify that. I'm going to be nominating Dr. Wiley Miller for this at-large position. There may or may not be other nominations from the council. We'll do that after anyone from the public who wishes can speak. Does anyone wish to speak from the audience?
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Steve Calloway, 3900 Sherman Court. I am a citizen in Ward 5, and I would just like to thank the mayor and thank the council. I'm here as a representative on behalf of the Minority Men's Network, and I'd just like to thank you for your actions that you took at the previous board meeting and also at this board meeting on behalf of and in recognition of Columbia and this great city's interest and concern for an emphasis and priority on diversity and inclusion and the actions that you're in the process of taking. I would just like to commend you and again thank you for taking this as a very proactive and exemplary action on behalf of the minority community. So thanks very much.
Thank you,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak? We have one nominee. Are there any other nominees?
We should probably vote on the resolution first.
Okay.
So it's official.
Please call the roll.
Council Bill 9811 as amended. Mr. Schmidt?
Yes.
Mr. Thornhill?
Yes.
Mr. Casabell?
Yes.
Mr. Dudley?
Yes.
Ms. Anthony?
Yes.
Ms. Hobby?
Yes.
Mr. McDavid?
Yes. We have one nominee. Are there any other nominees for this at-large position? May I have a motion to appoint Dr. Wiley Miller to this at-large position?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. We'll move to introduction and first reading. Will the clerk read the bills, please?
All bills are introduced by the mayor unless otherwise indicated. Bills 15511, 15611, 15711, 15811, 15911, 15611, 16011, 16211, 16211, 16311, 16411, 16511, 16611, 16711, 16811, 16811, 16911, 16911, 17111, 17211, 17211,
17311, first reading. Report 100.
This is our standard intra-departmental transfer of funds request. It's an informational report.
Any questions from council about this report? Report 101-11.
An authorization to negotiate an annexation agreement. My notes here. So what we're hoping council will be comfortable doing is really directing staff to negotiate that agreement, that annexation agreement, with the owners of North Battleground LLC tract. It'll basically allow them to connect their subdivision to the city sewer system while they develop the subdivision, substantially in accordance with Boone County land development regs, with the stipulation that the development will be designed according to city stormwater management standards and selected street and sidewalk standards.
I have a question. A lot of these agreements to connect sewer outside the city are accompanied by agreements for annexation when contiguous, right?
That's right. And
does this
that's
have
included.
That part as part of it?
That's what this would provide for, is that when the city becomes contiguous, the city then can petition to annex the property, and the owner or the owner's successors will not object to that annexation.
Any other questions?
I would just like to make a comment, if I may. I was pleased that we are going to, I understand the issue with the negotiating or the what standards we're going to adopt, and they might be different between the county and city, but I think it is very important that we implement our stormwater regulations. And also, that is a very sensitive area in terms of sidewalks. Given the location of the new high school, we really do need the sidewalks in St. Charles. So I think that's extremely important. It's something that's been discussed since the first discussions on the high school. So I was happy to see that we're going to be asking that the sidewalks be installed.
Any other comments or questions? May I have a motion to direct staff to negotiate an annexation agreement with the owners of North Battleground LLC tract that allows the owners to connect their subdivision city sewer system while developing the subdivision substantially in accordance with Boone County land development regulations, with the stipulation that the development will be designed according to city stormwater management standards and selected street and sidewalk standards.
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed say nay.
Thank you for that guidance.
Report 102.
Somewhat similarly, we're looking for official council direction on basically a motion that would direct staff to prepare a resolution for next for the July 5th council meeting, where we would authorize street closures and approve preliminary layout plans and waiver of the open container ordinance. This is to Roots and Blues and Barbecue. Wholehearted support from staff, and would like to move forward on that. Want to get direction from
great event, part of our cultural history. It's great. I'm going to ask for a motion to direct staff to prepare a resolution for council consideration at July 5th council meeting. The council resolution will authorize street closures, approval of the preliminary layout plan, and waiver of the open container ordinance.
Second.
Thank you. a question. There wasn't, in past years, we have negotiated with Roots and Blues for fees for city services as well. And I think maybe last year we got $1 per ticket or something like that. Is that discussion part of this or ongoing? There was no mention of that.
That's included in a separate written operations agreement, which will be forthcoming to council.
But that's not what we'll be voting on July 5th. No. We have a motion and a second. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed say nay. Report 103-11.
This report is really informational. A letter about the dinner train.
I'm going to make a couple comments about this. This is this whole issue of the dinner train, 1938 train, era train when there were no allowances for the disabled. I think this is useful in reasserting our sensitivity to what our disabled friends have to deal with. There are exemptions to the Americans with Disabilities Act, and we're told by our council that this 1938 train would have been too expensive to make ADA accessible and was then as therefore granted an exemption. I'm taking that at face value, and I can understand the position of the Disability Commission in that that we are letting a non-compliant entity to the ADA use a city facility that we paid for. It's sort of reminiscent about yesterday Frontier Airlines, a quadriplegic was taken off the plane by the pilot. In what has really made some fairly national news. And I think our sensitivity to this goes beyond this. You know, we're going to be asked to preserve brick streets, and our disabled friends have trouble on brick streets with ambulating around, particularly in wheelchairs. So while this is a report intended not for action, I don't believe, I think it does serve to reinforce the sensitivity we must have to the disabled community.
I could add for council members and the city manager who wasn't here when this decision was made, we did discuss this with the company, and their hope, near promise, was that as they ran the program became successful, that they would add, hopefully, a third train that would be accessible. So I'm hopeful that that will be coming down the line. And that was about it is we thought we could get.
I'd like to make a comment. I was very appreciative of receiving this report, and I do from Mr. Homer Page, and I think it does remind us that you know, when we do consider projects going forward, that the question really should be, you know, not necessarily does it meet the legal requirements. Of course, we have to meet the legal requirements, but the question is, can all citizens use it? And I think this is just a very appropriate reminder for us going forward to make sure that we are sensitive and evaluate that question. So I was very appreciative of receiving this letter.
Any other comments? Report 104-11.
Report really requests council to give a nod about basically dipping into about $30,000 from the parking retained earnings account to do a traffic study for the traffic impact study for the Short Street Garage. And what this would really consider is, you know, what are the improvement costs of the study intersections if Short Street remains open or is closed? And then can a traffic signal be placed on Broadway and Short Street? Really, through the lens of the vision statement that calls for large traffic generators to be identified and a plan for minimizing impacts on flow is implemented. So that's the request of council tonight.
Like to add, you know, it talks about $30,000. We could do this in-house if council wanted to. We have two traffic engineers. The only issue with that, it takes about 5 weeks, and all the other traffic projects would be stopped for this to be done.
What's the cost?
Whatever we cost to pay the engineers. You're paying them anyway. It's done in-house.
Do you have any projects pressing that displacing?
I don't have a lot of projects pressing, except I have a lot of council trackers that need to be addressed.
I'd be willing to forego some time of response to save some money.
What is your preference, John?
My preference would be to do it in-house so I can get it kicked out, because by the time I hire an engineer and do everything else, I'd be about 3 weeks down the road.
I say we...
Can I make a motion to...
Do we need a motion, or...
Some indication of the consensus of the council.
Yeah. What do we need to do, Fred? You have a preference?
No. I mean, you could simply make a motion directing staff to do the study in-house.
So move.
A second.
I like that.
Discussion? Fred? Yeah, I have a question. This is a multi-million-dollar project, and I hope we're not asked about each piece of this size. And I don't know if there's something different about this piece that keeps coming up, but that's just my question.
I'd like some information on the estimated cost of running Wall Street through to Hubble and then closing Short Street.
All that would be in the traffic report.
And the difference in cost of the garage having an underpass and what it would cost to put that street through.
Okay. That'll be part of the design process.
Part of the design, but I need to take that into account on all the traffic.
We'll be presented options through and not through retail and not retail, I would presume.
Well, Wall Street would need some estimates on purchasing property and those things.
Yes.
Okay.
I have a motion and a second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Report 105.
This is, again, an informational report about effects of the Billboard Act and how it might, or in this case, might not impact our local billboard rules. And any questions, I really need to defer to Brett.
Am I right in assuming that we can always be more restrictive than this or not?
Well, that's the issue. And I think we can. The initial, if in the memo, it quotes the language that's been in there for a long time. And I and other attorneys before the 93 case thought that cities could be more restrictive, because otherwise it didn't make any sense to me and other people why cities would be able to regulate. I mean, because basically it says if cities adopt regulations, then the state rules don't apply. But the appellate courts disagreed with that point of view. And as a matter of fact, the attorney for the billboard industry wrote an article, you know, in which his opinion was that cities could be more restrictive. That was pre-1993. When they came out with that interpretation, the problem was they said basically that city regulations had to be exactly the same as the state regulations. They couldn't be any broader. They couldn't be more restrictive. And then the legislature amended that and specifically said cities can regulate billboards. And as a matter of fact, the Western District Court of Appeals construed that as meaning cities could actually prohibit billboards. So that's where the law was before this bill came in. The interpretation that the appellate courts gave to the language that's been in there and has stayed in there is inconsistent with the language of this statute, because this statute specifically says cities can be more restrictive. You know, so what the courts will do with that, I don't know. I think the courts would hold that, yeah, it means what it says. Cities can be more restrictive in their regulations. You know, but then I kind of tempered that with, you know, some of the billboard advocates are a little bit worried about it, or not billboard advocates, the anti-billboard people who want to restrict billboards. And I think they have a legitimate concern, because there have been a lot of decisions pertaining to this statute that have surprised a lot of us, including the initial one I referred to. Is that sufficiently muddled?
You don't know?
Oh, yeah. I could have just said I didn't know. But
telling you what it
I am
should
a lawyer,
be,
you know.
No.
What he'd like, he thinks it should be, but what the appellate courts will say
may not concur.
Well, I understand
that was
concur.
Sexually attempted humor. Yeah.
Well, my concern, and my concern for bringing this up, of course, is, you know, I know that as a city council, my understanding of what's been done is we usually don't dabble in politics, but when you have a proposed piece of legislation that weakens our local control, that's an appropriate time to get involved. And I think this is one of those times. Columbia has very restrictive billboard regulations. We space our billboards, I believe, in I-70 no more than 2,000 feet apart, and on 63, 4,000 feet apart. We have very restrictive regulations in terms of the size of the billboards, and these are quality of life issues for Columbia. There are entranceways to the city on I-70 and I-63. We certainly have seen less restrictive use of billboards and what that does to the entryway to a city. So this is very much a quality of life issue. The problem here is, and I think that city staff did an excellent job of doing an analysis, but the real issue here is, you know, the luck has it concludes the proposed legislation says that local regulations may be more restrictive provided such local regulations allow for customary usage. And it's the customary usage that is subject to interpretation. So this very much, and the fact that we have, you know, the Missouri appellate courts have a history of surprising interpretations of the Billboard Act, we are exposed here. And I think, you know, while we don't necessarily have to send a letter down to Nixon, he has to take some action on this legislation before July 14th or it's enacted. I would simply request that we send a letter expressing our concerns, you know, that we have some more restrictive billboard legislation here. We are worried that there is a possibility that our control over our own billboards may be further eroded with this proposed legislation, and I would ask that we approve sending a letter to that effect to Nixon before July 14th.
You author the text of that, and
with the help of.
Well, I think you stated it very very.
Well, thank you. I mean, if I can ask Mr. Bachman to help me, I would.
All right.
Give it a stab.
And then that would be appropriate for the mayor and the council to sign that. I mean, ordinarily we don't like to deal in, you know, issues at a state level, but this one has.
Well, yeah, I mean, we have kind of a history of getting involved when it affects local government. So, I don't see
that. So you have a message that we send a letter to the governor?
That's my proposal. If it needs a motion, that would be my proposed motion.
And stating what you.
Right, exactly. Just stating that, you know, and again, not if it were not comfortable, and I don't think, you know, just stating our concern with this proposed legislation. I think we have to fight for our rights to control our local billboards.
Second that motion, if you made a motion.
That was
We have a motion and a second. Discussion. Jason?
No.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. Motion passes 7-0. We're in the general comments section. I would invite anyone from the public. I would yield 3 minutes to anyone from the public who would like to speak. Good evening, Mr. Love.
Good evening, Mayor. How are you doing this evening? My name is Paul Love. I live at 100 Sandra. I'm not sure if you're aware of this. Today is the 20th, and it's kind of a special day for Boone County. For those of you who are unaware, this is the first day in which fireworks sales are permitted. Every year, this is a seasonal event. Happens about the 4th of July. We get together to celebrate the birth of our country, and we shoot off fireworks. What happens is that in Boone County, we sell the fireworks, and Boone County derives revenue from this. I don't know if you've been to a few of the city council meetings lately. I hear you guys are short on revenue. I know I've talked to you guys about this a few times before. I'd like the city council to consider allowing the sale of fireworks within the city limits. Really, if you take a notice as you drive out of any portion of the city, you'll see tents. They're selling the fireworks there, feet from where the city could take advantage of that. I know there may be some other considerations that you'd like to look at, but I think that would be a good source of revenue for the city. It's, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars for a few weeks during the year, a little bit of money for the city, and frankly, we'd really be happy to move closer in and pay that bit of revenue to you. So thank you very much for your time, and I look forward to your consideration at a future date. It's a little late to take advantage of it this year, but you'll probably have financial problems for a few years to come. So if you would, please consider that. And we at Best FX Fireworks wish you all a happy 4th of July.
Thank you, Mr. Love.
Good evening. My name is Greg Ahrens, 1504 Sylvan Lane. I'll apologize for K-State t-shirt.
Oh, great.
I'm only going to give you 1 minute with the K-State t-shirt.
And we were gonna boo
you into it.
This jogged my mind, his mention of 4th of July. Columbia has the distinct honor of hosting the original tombstone of our third president, Thomas Jefferson. And while he's not buried there, it is his original tombstone. And every year for the past number of years, somebody I know has been secretly going by and planting a couple of American flags at the tomb of our third president. And he died on July 4th in 1824, I believe it was. Anyway, so I just, people might take a few minutes out of their time on the 4th when they're celebrating and everything to wander by there and thank our President Jefferson. But the other point I wanted to bring, as president of First Knight Columbia, I want to thank you all for all the help that we've had from the city in putting on First Knight, and also every year I've had the pleasure, I guess, of going over to the city bus barn and decorating two buses for the use of First Knight revelers. Usually using the spray-on Christmas white artificial snow spray paint. And this year, last December 31st, when I went over to decorate, one of the buses was extremely covered in the skin of the advertising company for a nearby town's casino. And while our First Knight activities are supposed to be alcohol free and all that, part of the advertising was people enjoying adult beverages. So I just kind of went over the windows the way I normally do and didn't mess with any of the advertising as much as I could, and put the Happy New Year and all that I usually put. But I'm just wondering, in the future, as these skins of advertising get more outlandish and the buses look less and less like city buses, and they're all kinds of weird colors and things, green buses and stuff that, well, I don't know, anyway. If it might get to where, you know, I don't even bother doing the buses for New Year's Eve. But the other point would be if there might be some way that maybe a couple of buses be reserved around that time of year without advertising skins or with minimal advertising or whatever. I realize that we're all in a bind economically and everything, but it's just something I wanted to mention to you anyway. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? We'll move to council comments. I want to repeat much of what I said about the parking task force. I think we need to get a consensus from the primary stakeholders downtown. I'm kind of struck that it's the consensus is really not what it ought to be. And I really want us to really focus on how we can buff up the technology on downtown parking. I mean, there's a lot of evolving technologies out there, from using GPS on buses to on your iPhone app to tell you when the bus is coming by. There are going to be apps to tell you which parking spaces are available, so you don't have to circle around trying to find a place to park. New ways of paying. It's not a coin generated world anymore. It's a credit card world and smartphone world, and so again, to sort of reiterate, I'd like to appoint a fairly robust task force to look at all these issues globally. I mean, yeah, it does start with rates. But it really focuses on the technology, and it really looks at the assets that we have to see how we can use them. And this is where we are talking about the garages. We are talking about shuttles, trolleys, the transit, the orbiter, how we can market it for bicycles, how we can make the 5th and Walnut Garage a multimodal transportation center. There are just a lot of ideas that we could use, and all this has to be done within the confines of the finances of the parking utility. I mean, the parking utility has to be solvent, so that's going to be the limiting factor. So on that basis, I'd like staff to prepare legislation to allow a parking task force that would consist of members of the CID, representatives of the three colleges, a representative of PedNet, a representative of downtown residents, a representative of downtown church, representative of DLC, and a representative of city administration. Again, this would be a strictly advisory task force whose purpose is to produce a report within a year to the city council to help us. The goal is going to be to enhance cultural and economic activity in the downtown area consistent with the Columbia Vision Statements. So I'm going to ask the staff to prepare a resolution that the council can address at the next meeting. Any other council comments?
You want to go for it?
Go ahead.
Okay. I am finding an issue coming up in my ward that came up a few years ago, and that was when a person was roller skating to work and got arrested and had his skates confiscated, which I'm not exactly sure how that's legal, but anyway, that's what happened. So he came forward and work was done on an ordinance to somehow allow roller skating, skateboarding, and rollerblades as a mode of transportation. And that, I'm not exactly sure how far that went. That was handled on the Bicycle Pedestrian Commission. And the I went back and looked at all the council minutes of the ordinance banning roller skates and skateboards. And it speaks of a different world. And now we have a different kind of downtown, and we have a different kind of people. Well, we're the same people, but we've changed. And this is the kind of hip, personally expressive behavior that we could be encouraging. And it actually is something that would appeal to the new residents of downtown. So I think it might be time to have the Bicycle Pedestrian Commission work with staff to see if they can come up with some kind of ordinance allowing more modes of transportation, at least making it legal for people to rollerblade to work or skateboard to work as they would in New York City or Chicago or Los Angeles. And so it'd be great if we can get the Bicycle Pedestrian Commission and staff to raise this, resurrect this issue and see if they can come to a good conclusion.
Part of that could be some designated routes downtown for certain modes
of transportation. numerous proposals, and it all got complicated. What I'd love to see is instead of a new ordinance would be removing language from existing ordinances, you know, to have less law rather than more law. But, you know, I'm not the lawyer, so.
I have three things. The first, I received an email from a lady who went to the ARC to join. Excuse me. She had a question about the fees at the ARC. For a senior couple, it's $29. For an individual senior, it's $24.50. She was just wondering about the disparity on many of the fees, the membership fees at the ARC, and why the difference is it's $5 for a second one and a couple, but it's $25 for the first one. Second thing is Stone Ridge area has been experiencing a lot of vandalism, and as much as bricks through front windows and through cars during the evenings, especially on weekends, and they're wondering if they can get an extra patrol, the officers, to make another trip through there once or twice a night. And on the corner of Stewart and Providence.
Stewart and Providence.
People, there are no signs for the bikes. What a lot of the bikers would like is a sign that says bike has right-of-way, because when people are trying to jump the light coming off of Stewart onto Providence, one guy, his wife, has almost gotten hit twice in the same week coming through there. So they just like to see a sign put up there that says bike has right-of-way. They have it on a couple other places on Providence, but not on Stewart. And a lot of people are coming down there right now. That's it.
What was the first location with the request for the extra patrol?
The Stone Ridge area.
Stone Ridge.
Lee, I have five things. First of all, regarding accessibility and disabilities, I would like the Parks and Rec Department to take a look at what they could do to make Stevens Lake swimming accessible to wheelchair-bound people. When Stevens College owned it, there was a dock and stairs, and I had a wheelchair-bound friend that I was able to wheel to the dock, and actually she could get down the stairs and then enjoy the pool. So whether there's a pavement ramp at some point that accessible people could use, I'd like Parks and Rec to look at that. And I'd also like to, with that, revive a request that I think just died and was supposed to be followed up on with Parks and Rec, also involving Stevens Lake. And that is right now, there is no bicycle pedestrian access from Old 63 and where Jack Estes is, and that's where all the public has access to Stevens Lake for events. So bikes have to go on the traveled car path as well as pedestrians. So I'd like Parks and Rec to maybe give me a report or their thoughts about adding a pedestrian bike path off the traveled entry for the parking. And let's see, second, this is regarding fireworks. I noticed in City Source they had a really good article about safety with fireworks, but they failed to mention that fireworks are not are prohibited in the city. So I want to make sure that people know that. And whether, you know, hopefully the staff will, in the next week or so, publicize that a little bit so people will know that. A third thing. Also in City Source, there was a great article about keeping our streams clean. We had a pre-council on the Hinkson TMDL and how we can approach that. And the article informed people that they need to keep pet waste, paint, oil, leaves, and grass cuttings out of the storm drains. We had also people working for the city department who were blowing grass cuttings down the storm drains after they cut, and that was just an error in education. So I just want to emphasize that we need to protect our streams, and if the city can do whatever you can do to educate the people regarding that, that would be great. But I also wanted to know whether we specifically have an ordinance prohibiting the depositing of waste, grass cuttings, oil, and leaves into the storm drain system. But just a report on that. Number four, sorry, had a lot of things come up. I was contacted by the Boone County Family Resources, and they teach people their clients how to use the bus system and get around. And they are interested in obtaining free passes for their coach or their staff so they can get people acclimated to the bus system and comfortable with the bus system so they can use it. So I'd like staff to look at and maybe draft an ordinance that would allow Boone County Resources as well as other similar agencies to have free access to the bus when accompanying a client for the purpose of teaching them how to use the bus. And that would enhance bus use generally. And last one. Is regarding a comment that was made tonight regarding first night buses. I just like staff to give us a report back on whether buses that are not don't have advertising could be available for first night. I know we have a lot that don't. That's it.
I have two briefly regarding Brick Streets. I had requested a report on the cost of brick streets versus concrete, and since we talked about that tonight, maybe just a reminder that I haven't received that yet. And then we got an email this morning from, well, Carol forwarded it, I think, to us, but regarding some information that was posted to the PedNet website that evidently the spokesperson Stedham took some issue with some what she considered misinformation, and evidently that information was posted at any rate. So I might reference Carol's email titled Transit Survey Summary. And I'd like to find out just what happened there. There's some sort of a breakdown in communication between it looks like Ian at PedNet and Jill Stedham, at any rate. So there's some information there that, if indeed was published, is probably erroneous. So maybe just some clarification on what happened there.
Is the Fifth and Walnut Garage under the capital improvement section of our budget? Shouldn't it be?
I believe it is.
Okay. I'm looking at capital improvements. Why I asked the question. Capital projects funds, and I don't see the garage there anywhere. John said we had a balance of $2 million in that fund for that garage. We transferred $29,000 out tonight, and I don't see the balance anywhere in this report of the CIP. So I'd like to know why the garage is not in there.
Follow up on that.
think everyone received an email today from, and a petition from some folks here in town about blocking off of streets for Summerfest. And I really don't want to talk about this tonight, but I'd like to have some kind of a staff report on the facts of this Summerfest program and how it might affect other businesses, and do a little study on this and see if what they're claiming is true. You here to answer my question?
Yes, there's $1 million left in the budget, not
okay.
two. And it won't show up in the CIP once it's under construction. It would have been in the budget in previous years as a current project. I don't know if it was 09 or 10, but it won't be in this year's budget.
Well, I'm looking at this report we got through March 31st, and Fire Station 7 and Fire Station 9 are both here with balances. Why wouldn't the garage be in here?
I don't know, sir, but it normally is not in the current year budget unless it's
well, this is CIP. What's left over? And
I can't answer your question why it's not in there. It's.
Can we find out from John Blatho? That's okay.
But I do know there's $1 million.
Thank you.
I have one request. At some point, I don't know if it would be appropriate for a work session, but I would like to revisit our policy regarding snow removal. I realize we've discussed it quite a bit. We discussed it during when we were discussing street conditions during our mini retreat or a full retreat, and I would like to make sure we don't lose track of that, because I really do think it would be beneficial to revisit our snow removal policies.
Any other comments? Meeting is adjourned.